Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page, and we are rebroadcast on a2zen.fm, as well as other locations that maybe our guests might take the interviews as well. And so lots of opportunities for you to take a listen to the interview as many times as you'd like and go to our guest's website and check out what they are doing. It's great to have you with us, and of course, every week as we bring you this information, I want to let you know, too, that if you'd like to contact me, I would love to hear from you. I actually created a number of different web email addresses and then realized that that is just going to create confusion in spite of the fact that, well, they're real easy. Let's just keep it even easier. Just send me an email, richard at richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. And I'd love to hear what you think about our programs, even ideas that you have, you might have for our programs, guest ideas, topic ideas, extraordinary programs coming up in the coming weeks as well as months, including the continuation of our 12-month series. We do one program a month on mythology. My special guest host on those programs is Will Lynn, and he will be bringing us special guests who are going to talk to us about mythology and storytelling and all of the ramifications around how the importance of mythology, not only the ancient myths, but even some of the modern myths and mythology in that regard. And words like anthropomorphize, there's one for you. So please join us for those programs. You'll see them on the website, and we will do our best to let you know when they are coming up. We have a returning guest to our program, and she has written book 2 of 3 in a trilogy, Sisters of the Flame. It's an introduction to the Ascended Masters of the I Am America teachings. And Lori Toy is our guest. And Lori, I want to thank you so much for rejoining us here on the program.
Oh, and my thanks to you. It's my pleasure to return to your show.
This is the first time we had you on. It was a lot of fun because it was information that probably most of us have not heard about, at least not in this context. There have been a lot of, I'll put it in this context. You don't fall in this context, but I will put it this way. There are a lot of fear mongers, and I've come across them both in my travels through Christian radio as well as through the metaphysical world. There are folks when we were headed towards December 21st, 2012, who were predicting 97% of the population of the earth was going to be destroyed. And I thought, wow, okay, we never had that person on the program because that was a little too depressing.
Well, but I don't blame you at all. I mean, fear controls people, and it's really not at all where the message that I've been sharing, especially regarding prophecy and earth changes and spiritual teachings, it's the opposite of that.
Yeah, it is giving us an opportunity to prepare ourselves for the ongoing transition that has actually been probably going on for, well, some might say it's been going on for eons, but in terms of our modern time, in terms of modern human history, it's probably, I'm actually going to take it back to the 1980s, and the first event that I recall being publicized, talked about on Infinitum was the harmonic convergence. That was probably the first event that I was consciously aware of and became informed about as much
as
I could.
Yes, I participated in harmonic convergence as well. And I don't know if you remember the World Day of Healing.
Yeah.
Mass meditation that was carried out across the whole planet.
Yeah.
At that time. And that was very profound because those were the days without cheap phone rates or internet.
That's right. Your long-distance bill would have been extremely high. The thing that I love, of course, today is that long-distance is, if you're using your cell phone, free. There is no charge. It's unlimited, and it's amazing how far we've come technologically. And it's also amazing how far we have come, I'd have to say, on a spiritual level, because science is beginning to show us more and more about how we are not only interconnected, but how we as individuals and that interconnected group, we can and are changing the world. At the same time, and this is a direction I think maybe we'll start with, at the same time, Lori, we're still subject to the challenges that the universe in its continuing cycles puts us as human beings through.
Well, we still have a vulnerability to the downside of change, which is sometimes catastrophic.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's all about how you want to see it. It's about perception.
Right.
So, my teacher calls us the point of perception, how you choose to see an event.
Okay. Now, we've had in maybe the last 10 or 15 years quite a number of unusual, they're calling them extreme storms and so forth, probably going back to, I think it was 2004 or 2003 with the earthquake and that massive tsunami. We had Katrina. We've had unusual winters as well as summers around the world. Australia suffered through some horrendous wildfires, wildland fires across their country. We have done the same here. We had what they called the polar vortex. I thought that was interesting. They chose that name.
Amazing name.
Yeah.
Yes, and what an anomaly to have the weather of the Arctic drop down into our Northeast United States.
And of course, that raises a great deal of criticism by the opponents to what was once called global warming. Well, where's the warming? Number one, unfortunately, I think it was misnamed from the get-go simply because that process is going to generate the extremes. I remember seeing a documentary on, they weren't predicting what was going to happen, but they said, here is the scenario as the oceans warm and the evaporation continues and puts clouds in this, you know, it generates more cloud cover and so on and so on and so on. So it's real interesting how we're trying to understand what's happening and whether or not we are or are not responsible as human beings for these changes or if these are just cycles. The fact of the matter is they're happening. And I think that's where we need to, I think, you've accurately put it, we need to change our perceptions. There are no guarantees in this life. And nobody, as my father once said, he says, you don't get out of this life alive. And that may or may not be true. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that this is the world in which we live, and we need to start, you know, really consciously looking at it. Do you feel, and the ascended masters that you communicate with, that we have the capacity, the capabilities, those of us who are actively seeking out the understanding and the awareness in this transformational time, that we can, how can I put this, minimize the effects?
I do think that there will be some changes that are inevitable, that is imminent.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are powers at work right now, geophysically, as well as probably socially, politically, that are very hard to stop in terms of climate change. And in fact, the polar ice caps are melting, and that is a great force. Now, I'd like to think that through consciousness, we could avert that calamity. There are, of course, future events that I think are very susceptible to the choices that we make. Hence, consciousness can make all the world a difference. One of my teachers, Master K.H., says, within your heart is a gentle revolution which can redirect the course of such events. So I have not lost hope, and I am not a doomsayer. I think it's not only perception, but there is a way, too, that we can enter into activism. And I think the most important thing, first, is knowledge. Knowledge of what is happening today. Just as you mentioned, there's so many things happening around climate change, global warming. We can actually play a very generative role in making a big change there. And I'm not going to go into that large list, because anyone can hit Google and find out what they can do, because there's a lot you can do to reduce your carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also many other things that we can do personally at a spiritual level, which really does affect the collective consciousness. And I think one of the basic premises that we started out with is, if you live fear, you create fear. If you live love, you create love. And so that is a very simplistic viewpoint towards the changes, but I think it's a very profound viewpoint. Because when we enter into the more drastic changes, and no doubt about it, we're in the changes now, mm-hmm. and I think we need to pull our head out of the sand and come out of denial and understand it's just not going to be the way that it used to be.
Right.
We are living in the time of change. We're there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Are we at the tipping point? Probably. Probably we are. And there's many things that can happen. You'll also have to understand that our scientists, they don't have all the answers. They haven't ever seen anything like this before. It's a great experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you'll see so many takes on global warming and climate change. And I'm not going to even go down that road because it's so politically charged.
Right.
But the science behind it, they just don't completely know or understand how it's going to happen. There's a lot of what ifs. But I do think for a personal individual, that feeling of love towards one another and towards your neighbor helps. There's no doubt about it. Personal and spiritual development helps you personally to deal with any types of changes that we will incur during this time. I also think to move your life towards sustainability at whatever level you can do in your current circumstances. That is, can you grow a small garden? Can you raise your own food? Can you move towards your own personal sustainable economic situation? Also, globally, can we move towards more sustainable practices? There are many, many things that we can do that indeed do make a difference.
I know that there are a lot of folks, myself included, who are also beginning the process, both externally and internally, of clearing out a lot of the stuff that we've held on to for years or decades. It's just astounding. The stack of papers I went through not too long ago that I've got to run through a shredder just for information's sake. But also we went under the house and we pulled out boxes that we put there in May of 2006 when we first moved to Santa Barbara that we hadn't opened since. And we codified those down into, there must have been 7 or 8 or 9 boxes under there, down to one. That's
yes,
how
my
much
mantra.
Stuff.
My mantra for dealing with these changes that we're all feeling,
mm-hmm.
we're all moving towards, personally, transpersonally, globally, geophysically, is simplicity. And simplifying your life as much as possible helps with the transition. The very positive aspect, you know, of entering into the Earth changes is, and this is what they talk about in Sisters of the Flame, they say that the Earth changes have been preordained or prophesied for nearly 2,000 years. So I think that most organized religion, for sake of any other word, they all have some form of Armageddon, some form of great change that happens to the Earth
mm-hmm.
that we all endure.
Yeah.
But these changes that are inevitable, according to the master teachers, will help to heal separation. So in contrast with these remarkable changes comes healing. And that healing is mental, emotional, and spiritual.
Well, now, in that, with this new book that you have out, which is 2 of 3 in this trilogy that you are putting together, you talk about that whole process of not only what types of relationships, but also how to heal the mind, body, and soul in that process. And that seems to be a key to helping us as individuals to be able to better work through these transitions, these changes that we're going through, which, by the way, the term that I'm hearing now, this is the new normal. These changes that we're going through, both climatologically, economically, socially, structurally, whatever other terms you want to throw in there or isms, this is the new normal, change. And
Oh yes.
If nothing more, and I kind of like this, if nothing more, it is training us for the first time in our existence to better handle change, because A, it's the number one constant in the universe, and number two, it's the one thing that we as human beings have never been able to deal with.
It's a very, very difficult aspect for a lot of people. In fact, I had several past life regression sessions, and one of the lessons that I am working on in this life is just my ability to deal with change. And so, no doubt, I'm sure that that's part of the reason why I was given the message of change to share with other people, because we often, you know, will work on issues or quote-unquote stuff that we need to clear out, you know, in order to move our spiritual growth and development ahead.
I've heard it said, too, Lori, that one of my other guests a couple of years ago, actually, made the comment that everyone who is here on the planet at this time is looked upon by, I think from their perspective, the hierarchy, and in your case, for example, you're dealing with ascended masters, as heroes, because they have chosen to be here at this time to work, not only work through their stuff, but also to assist in the process of helping others to work through this transition and this time of change.
Yes, I have heard throughout the years of sharing this information and material a Hopi saying that they say that during any time of great prophesied time of great purification, or in this case our time of transition, it is an honor to be alive. And it is an honor to be here at this time, because it's providing such a profound opportunity for us spiritually. One thing that the spiritual teacher shared early on with the I'm America map, which of course was the genesis of these three books and starts with a teacher appears, continues on in Sisters of the Flame, but they said that the I'm America map was a way to understand the ending of a cycle and the beginning of a new one. And they call this a continual process of change. But here's the good part about all of that. They say that learning to accept changes initiates our spiritual consciousness to receive enlightenment.
I would like to talk more about that as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan with Lori Toy of the I America Prophecies, and we're going to talk more about her book as well, and we want you to stay with us. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned.
Talk with me. Tell me your story.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan along with Lori Toy, and we are talking about the new work that she has out. It's book two of three in the trilogy. This is entitled Sisters of the Flame, An Introduction to the Ancient Masters of the I Am Teachings. And Lori, again, we're talking about a lot of different things here on the program. One of the aspects of this book, if I'm understanding correctly, this is the Sisters of the Violet Flame?
Yes. The Master Teachers have a spiritual teaching which is known as the Violet Flame or the Violet Fire. Violet Fire. And what this is, to understand it in a most simple manner, it's bhakti, or bhakti yoga from the Hindu tradition, the practice of compassion, and calling upon the law of mercy, compassion, and forgiveness within ourselves, and also to extend that outward to others. But also the violet fire is known as an alchemical fire. That is, it can raise lower energies into higher energies, allowing us to take on more light into our light field. And what this does is this initiates what is known as the ascension process. And the reason why the violet fire is so important is if you notice in the spectrum, in a prism of colors, that violet light is always the seventh layer. It is always the last layer to appear. And because of that, it has the ability to transconduct light and sound frequencies to the next octave. So when you visualize, meditate, decree, any form that you work with the violet flame, it allows your energy to transconduct to a new vibration, to a new level of understanding, hence a new point of perception. So it's very valuable. And of course, anyone who's been, you know, involved in Ascended Master teaching for some time, they use the violet flame. That is usually the crux of all of their spiritual practice. There's many other techniques, of course, but I think out of all that are available in the teachings, that's perhaps one of the most important ones.
In terms, there are a lot of folks who have a lot of questions about the coming days, weeks, months, and years. And even with the current, this is kind of a weird thing to even think about, because every time I hear the word the current generation, I'm not part of that. For whatever reason, I guess they're looking more at those in the teen to 20 and 30 year range when they refer to this current generation. And I'm thinking, well, but I'm still here. You know, it's like one of those things where you're talking about someone, you're saying something sort of derogatory, and they're sitting in the chair across from you, and they say, I'm sitting right here. And I kind of feel that way, like you're not talking to me, but I'm sitting right here in the room and I don't exist. The time frame, the timetable, if you will, for some of the changes that have been talked about, can we go into some of that?
Yes, and I think that's a terrific, you know, idea, question, because time frame has always, it's very valuable to us here in 3D.
Yeah.
And when I went back into all this original work, remember, this new trilogy that I'm sharing right now was work that was never published. It was kind of kicked off to the side because we were so busy sharing the maps, New World Atlas series, all the information, you know, that had prophecies in it. And that started, you know, late 80s all through the 90s. And then, of course, then I decided it was time to organize this. When I got into A Teacher Appears, which is the first book, the master teachers talked about reference points. And a reference point is a position in the landscape of the ever-present now where we can evaluate or weigh probability. So these changes are not carved in stone, and I think that that's really important to understand. A reference point is placed so we can initiate comparison between the actual event, prophesied events, and then the possibility of their timing. But I also would like to add that when you are receiving information from the ethereal planes, spiritual information, their perception and that perception of time is very different than our linear perception of time. So to them, time is an ever-present now. So all events are happening simultaneously. Therefore, that's why they can give you so much information, because, quite frankly, they have all information. They are in the now. But in the linear viewpoint, it was very fascinating to share the material, because in the early times, when we started late 80s, early 90s, sleeping on a lot of living room couches, presenting this in living rooms, going to centers, spiritual centers, traveling anywhere that we could, anyone who wanted to hear this information, we felt it was important that we share that information right then. There was a sense of urgency. And I do think, because we did share that it allowed more group prayer, more group meditation, and more conscious effort towards averting, circumventing, lessening, or softening the impact of what we knew was a potentiality. So I do think even the fact that we're talking about it helps, that it instigates a healing process for the Earth. One thing in Sisters of the Flame, which was so interesting, is that they talked about how you cannot separate the earth from our human existence. We are indeed one and the same. We have similar energy systems. We have the same type of light fields. We have similar anomalies. For instance, like the earth has certain chakra centers. So do we. And so we are very interconnected as one. And you cannot disconnect us. It's almost as if we reflect in a microcosm the macrocosm of what is happening at the earth. And they say that as the earth goes through its many, many changes that are prophesied to happen, our physical bodies, alongside our spiritual growth and evolution, will also change alongside that. So they really are a reflection of both simultaneously.
I'm wondering, too, and I'm sure you are way too busy with the work that you're doing to watch television, but there was a television program that came on a couple, 3 years ago, maybe even long before that. I'm trying to think of when it appeared. But anyway, the name of the program was Jericho. And it was ostensibly post-apocalyptic. Someone had set off some atomic bombs across the United States and maybe even in other countries, but we weren't given that information. And supposedly there was an undercurrent of conspiracy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, one of the first thoughts that went through my mind as I'm watching the very first episode, when it premiered, and this was not a question that came out of fear. It was a question that came out of curiosity, but it still came. And that was, from this television program, what is it that they're preparing us for? Why are they showing us these kinds of television programs? There's another one called Revolution, where somehow they've turned off all of the electricity on the planet, and there's a way to turn it back on, and somebody's found a way, blah, 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 blah. So again, what is it that these television programmers are preparing us for?
I think they are honestly responding to the energy of the collective consciousness. That deep within, in their intuition, they know that we are in this time of change. Now, this provides even a more interesting insight. What I've noted through the years is that there's very two distinct viewpoints on the changes, which we've been talking about. There is one group who feel that the earth changes are imminent, they must happen, and through this process of great purification, that the earth will be cleansed, and that it's corrupt and vile, and everything has to be taken down to ground zero so we can rebuild again, kind of like tabula rasa.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a group that they really, really passionately feel that that's why the changes are happening, that there's too much corruption and there's just too much that cannot be changed for good. And so just let it happen and let us start anew. There's another group that has evolved, and it's a more progressive viewpoint. And that progressive viewpoint around the change is that the changes, yes, are good for us, but they are also an opportunity for us to grow spiritually. And through that process, we can begin to evolve our systems and have positive change. And that, of course, involves spiritual awakening, sustainability, cultivation of a new humanity. And it's a little bit different way of seeing the changes. Neither one of these viewpoints deny the changes.
Right.
It's just how you choose to work with the change.
Yeah. I remember as we approached December 21st, 2012, there were a number of movies that came out depicting calamity and catastrophe and utter devastation and destruction. Well, I kept telling people, remember Y2K? Think of 2012 as Y2K, and you'll be just fine. Just relax.
And we were just fine. Yeah. And in fact, many of the Mayan elders came out and said, interpretation is entirely wrong or incomplete.
Yeah. Yeah,
we are really entering into a new time of higher energy, which is what the spiritual teachers say, too. One of the spiritual teachers that I worked with in Sisters of the Flame was a Pleiadian teacher and somewhat insinuated that she was a time traveler. and this is what she said on the earth changes. She said that cataclysmic earth changes may occur if we do not realize our spiritual path of life and the spiritual way of being. And she went on to say, all is spirit, and as we move through matter, we must honor and respect this and all that we do, all that we see, and all that we are. So for many of the spiritual teachers, they see this as a time to get in touch with spirit. And spirit to them is the action of the I Am, or the God presence, on the earth plane. And this, of course, is individualized. It's a different experience for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get it into a religious movement, because it is not.
Exactly.
It's a spiritual movement.
Right. And that's a very interesting distinction that many, many people make when surveys are taken about, religious beliefs and church going and temple going and et cetera, et cetera. And the majority of people seem to be coming out and saying, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. And there is a big difference between those two based upon how we have viewed religion, organized religion, especially and most specifically in this country. But I have to say, I remember when I was working for the Christian radio station, I kept hearing these different prophecies about certain things happening at certain times, which, by the way, those happenings and those times have come and gone. And I used to think, I just want to live long enough beyond the dates that they're talking about so that I can at least look back and go, yeah, sure. And you and everyone else down through the last 2,000 years or more have been saying these same kinds of things to scare people out of their wits, and you're still wrong.
And the danger of that type of message,
yeah,
the danger is that then we kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And we forget to look at what is the real substance and nature behind that, that there are things that are in need of drastic change.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget about what that is about, what that message is. One way that I have begun to understand prophecy is it's more of an indigenous viewpoint. It is the call within to intuitively heal at all levels, as I spoke about before. And so, in essence, prophecy is almost a perpetual warning. We must always be alert. We must always be intuitive. We must be awake and aware. And I think that that is what is important, because I think so much has happened in the last 20 years, especially with technology. It's just so much happening so quickly, so fast. We get dulled by that whole process.
Mm.
And it's hard to stay awake. It's hard to stay aware. The spiritual teachers talk about really interesting anomaly known as time compaction. And they say that this is also produced as we enter into the prophesied time of change. And they say that our perception of time compresses and time seems to speed by. And so this unfolding of events accelerates and situations are jammed into just a really short period of time. For instance, we feel like we have lifetimes within lifetimes in just 1 year. And this experience of time becomes more prevalent as we get closer to the cataclysmic time of change. And I think that our lifestyle, the technology today, this massive communication, is almost driving that time compaction.
I can kind of see that. I remember when hearing many of the prophecies I was hearing as I was growing up in this industry, I really kind of got to a point where I was sort of getting jaded by them. Like, I'm tired of hearing these messages. And so I actually, there was a certain level of seriousness to this, but somewhat facetiously, I would say, what can I do to help to bring about these prophecies sooner so we can move on with living the life that we were given? Because I'm just sick and tired of hearing these stupid messages. Because, you know, it was all coming from fear. And I thought, well, if we could just get beyond them to the better life, then we'd have a better life, so to speak.
Exactly. Why is the point? What is the point for the message in the first place?
Yeah.
What is it that we must address within ourselves spiritually? I just don't want to hear something that's inevitable. I want to hear about something that I can change, that I can take a experiential, vital role with to actually produce a positive result.
And that raises the next series of questions having to do with these prophecies that you are speaking about, or anybody for that matter, and the difference between the prophecies and our free will and our ability to choose. And science is telling us how they're beginning to show us how powerful we really are as human beings, not with external weapons or anything of that nature, but literally from within ourselves. They talk about the field or the divine matrix or whatever you want to call it, and how we're all interconnected, and there's where the power resides. This isn't about control either. And it's like, well, my goodness, if we have access to this awesome spiritual energy and power, then the prophecies, they can't stand. We can stop them, that kind of attitude. You know what I'm saying?
Or they can evolve us.
Okay.
And that's how I've always understood it, Richard, is that there's an old esoteric saying that they say the prophet paves the pathway for the priest. Now, I believe that means the teacher within.
Mm.
How we find our own inner guidance. But the most fascinating part about these prophecies about human development excite me. And in Sisters of the Flame, they talk a lot about our potential and the innate Godhead within us. One of the most vital teachings that came across to me after looking back at all of the transcripts organized in Sisters of the Flame was the message of love. And how love will pave the pathway to understanding the One. The One, again, to me, is what you just talked about, the field,
mm-hmm.
that essence, that energy where everything is interconnected. It is timeless. It is free. But love assists our spiritual evolution to know the One. And this is what they say, and I'll kind of break it down into, I've got four steps here, that love opens the heart chakra. And that's really important because we're learning how to move from the intellect into the heart and begin to make choices and decisions from our heart. The Heart Brain Institute or Heart Math Institute, they talk about these cells that exist in the heart that actually function like a brain cell. And this is a whole new dynamic that's happening for humanity right now. Also, love and the One opens our senses to the fourth dimension. That's the next dimension we're all evolving to. And the fourth dimension is a dimension of vibration. It's associated with telepathy and psychic ability, also the dream world. It's also a dimension of the elemental kingdoms. So through opening to the fourth dimension, we begin to develop our super senses. So there's this whole evolutionary process that happens. They call it esoterically the eyes to see, ears to hear, heart to love. And that is all how we enter into this whole new paradigm of fourth dimension. The cellular awakening is one of the most profound things that the spiritual teachers talked about in Sisters of the Flame. And it excited me because this is where they talked about, and I think it's probably some quantum physics to some degree, where they talked about this awakening, this overall collective awakening of humanity would happen at a cellular level. Therefore, it would have the ability to change our DNA, to alter us. And what they talked about is not only changes in our light field, the human aura, that it was a spiritual initiation where we would access fourth dimension. And they talked about the interconnection of the earth also going through this very profound physical change that would actually change energy and vibration into more light, a higher vibration and energy into spiritual knowledge and spiritual wisdom. They said through the cellular awakening, that DNA calibrates our cellular memory, and that relates to the experience and realization of the innate Godhead. And throughout Sisters of the Flame, they encourage getting in touch with emotion, that emotion, along with love, is a critical key, and to work through getting stuck intellectually and just learn how to feel again. And they talk about free movement, free motion, and the free flowing of emotional energy. Because to them, our physical bodies are a gift where we can experience this beautiful earth plane with our senses. And then, of course, this evolves into an array of emotion. And this also serves as almost a pivot point, if you will, of opening us up to a new level of vibration, new level of energy. And then last but not least, they say that all of these three things, the heart chakra, fourth dimension, cellular awakening, then ushers in a spiritual awakening into collective cooperation. And this has a very positive effect on Earth and affects the potential for Earth changes. And I think they're probably referring more to the catastrophic or cataclysmic Earth change.
Sure. And the one thing that is, to me, most astounding is that when you start looking at the materials that you provide, Lori, through I Am America, and by the way, the website is iamamerica.com. Now, it's interesting. I was just keying that in, and it actually took me to another website with a longer URL, so you can get there by just typing in iamamerica.com. And it'll
and
take
Richard, I wanted to mention, too, mm-hmm. if they go to loritoy.org, mm-hmm. loritoye.org, they can get four free chapters of the book, of Sisters of the Flame. And then they can read it for themselves and kind of get an idea of what that work is about.
Well, I encourage people to do that. One of the things, too, that is, to me, again, it's one of those interesting aspects to all of this is the fact that the sun will rise and fall every single day as we have laid out our calendars. That is almost a given, like death and taxes, as they say. and that, but beyond that, there is no guarantee as to what's going to happen within the sunrise and the sunset. Yet we are being given information that can help us to, as you stated, prepare for whether it
become
be...
Become empowered.
Right.
Yes, and become empowered with this type of information.
And whether it be the climactic climate or geological changes, or whether it be on a more cellular level, your own internal challenges, isn't it better to, I have to tell you that for many years, Lori, I was the rooster, the ostrich with the head in his sand. I just don't want to know. I didn't want to go to the doctor because I just don't want to know. If there's something there, I don't want to know.
Well, it's frightening.
Yeah.
It's frightening. And I take the approach, I want to know for the sake of information.
Yeah.
And then I always compare it to my own experience. One thing that happens to me about the spiritual teachers is that they will say, never believe anything we tell you. Instead, take it unto the laboratory of self.
That's a very good point.
Have your own experience.
Yeah.
Don't just believe carte blanche, everything I say. Take it unto laboratory experience.
I remember one author that I did that with I think it was before I even had an interview with him. I read his book cover to cover, I had this highlighter that I was going through and just highlighting like crazy because there was so many good things in there. But then he started giving examples, and I thought, you know, I could, when talking with people about the concepts, say, well, yeah, in so-and-so's book, blah, 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 or I could make that information my own. So I could then go and do my own study and research with my resource materials. And I did that. And I found the same things that he did. Even though, you know, I'm doing the same kind of thing. And I think that that's extremely important for each one of us. I cannot set aside the work that you've done, because that's what spurs us on. And the information that you have been given through the Ascended Masters, again, that is work that helps to spur each one of us on to hopefully gather additional information. I think that for me, the real key to when the information is really, really valid, not only in terms of trusting your intuition, but also in terms of gathering that information from multiple, what I'll call, independent sources. Although, as you and I would probably agree, Lori, there really aren't any independent sources, because everybody's getting their information from virtually the same source.
Yes, you know? Everyone is interconnected. There's levels and degrees of interpretation.
Right.
And there's also levels and degrees of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
There are some souls that are just new here. They're baby souls. And they may need more structure, hence more religion in terms of their spiritual approach. They need that structure. There are also souls that are very evolved. There's many avatars and adepts who are present right now on the earth at this important time to help us make the transition and to ably light that path for us. On Sisters of the Flame, I purposely put the torch of wisdom as one of the pictures on the cover. And I did that because that torch of wisdom is always an archetypal symbol of how we light our path towards wisdom. And just that venerated knowledge that comes through self-knowledge and self-experience, that the wisdom itself is something that is self-revealed.
When you have gone out on your talks, or for that matter, even when you have appeared on various network programs, is your sense that the people, and this deals probably more with your association or what have you with media than with groups of people you're speaking to in a forum, if you will, do you get the sense that these people are, maybe as an individual, maybe not the network, but as an individual, they're genuinely curious and interested in what you have to share? Or are some of these people more interested in sensationalism and maybe even making you out to look the fool?
It's a little bit of both. I think, again, it has to do with multiple layers. There are people, of course, when you go out there, they're kind of addicted to hearing what's bad. And they've got to hear one more bad thing, and then it kind of gets into a vicious cycle where they just have to listen and re-listen and re-listen. It is sensationalism. But yet, then there are other layers of people who do listen with sincerity, and they're there because they are concerned. They're looking for new ideas and new approaches of what they can do. There are also people who listen for confluence. Is what I'm saying similar to what someone else is saying? And I think that those are perhaps some of the wisest people, because they're looking to see where is the underlying truth in the information. Of course, there's always going to be some sort of variance because just of, you know, individualized perceptions. We all have personality and we're going to deal with it. But I do think that underlying in all of this, that there is a continuity. And I think everyone who does this type of work that I do, we are all in agreement that change is upon us. And exactly where that change is going, some would say they just don't know. But I think it's indicating, the arrow is indicating towards where the solutions lie, and the solutions are within us. There was that great email that circulated around the Internet, now it's about 12, 13 years ago, based, again, on Hopi wisdom. And they say, you are the ones you've been waiting for.
Oh, wow. You are the ones you've been waiting for.
Exactly.
Look in the mirror. Well, I think that in our society, that is somewhat difficult to take, especially from my perspective, being in the media. I haven't really had to work that hard at it because I learned a lesson very early on in my career that the moment that I start thinking more highly of myself, the universe has a way of giving me my comeuppance, and it humbles me. So, you know, in spite of, yes, I can sit here and I can express my accolades as far as the work that I do, and I'm very good at it, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you take it much beyond that. If I take it much beyond that, the universe is going to say, you know, you're getting a little too big for your britches, and we're going to have to do something about that. And the universe does.
The fact is, Richard, is that you're tuned in to when the universe draws you back in.
Yeah.
You are self-correcting. Not everyone is self-correcting. They haven't developed themselves to that point where they do see the power of intention.
Yeah.
And how intention is a powerful creator.
And don't get me wrong, folks. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm giving it the best shot I know how to.
Well, none of us are. Yeah. You know, Babaji said there is no saint without a past, no sinner without a future.
I like that. It's one and the same. It is really kind of humorous. I would talk with people about again, coming from more of the Christian, Orthodox Christian paradigm, and talking to some people about, you know, the day of judgment when you stand before God and you answer for your life, and I said, well, I can only put it this way, and that is, I'll stand before God in this paradigm, and I will say, well, on the one hand, I am 100% responsible for my life, and you are going to do with me whatever you will. On the other hand, you created me, and you knew what was going to happen, so you knew the end game from the beginning. Ergo, it's on you. You know. So, but I'm still at your mercy because you're still going to do with me what you will. And again, this is all under that old paradigm. I certainly don't believe that paradigm any longer.
Right, and I think now it's more of a paradigm of synchronicity.
Yeah.
That things happen for a reason and a purpose, and they happen with a divine timing and order that we are ready for.
Well, I've even discussed, for example, you've mentioned this on numerous occasions throughout this program as well as before, about our intuition. And I've always told people, you know, trust it. You know, it'll never lead you astray. It'll never harm you. It may take you into challenging situations for learning purposes, but it's not about hurting you. And I've come to the conclusion that when, Lori, you listen to your intuition and I listen to my intuition and one of the listeners is listening to their intuition, each one of us is going to be given different information. However, all of that information is synchronistic. We are not working against each other when we do that. We're doing...
We're really moving towards unity.
Yeah.
Is what I see. And what the spiritual teachers in this book, they call that the feminine principle. They call that the nurturing, intuitive, innate side of every being has. But the feminine principle is, you know, ideally associated with feeling, intuition, and the lower chakras, because they hold the point of conception and the womb of nurturing for all of us. But esoteric philosophy does consider the feminine principle is one of the most highest creative aspects of human experience. And so the feminine principle is the goddess within all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And femininity is the intuition. It's the creative spark. It's also kind of known esoterically as the sun of truth. And the female essence serves as inspiration and aspiration for purity, goodness. And through our intuition, inevitably usually comes our truth. Not the truth.
No.
Our truth.
Correct. I grew up in a more matriarchal family. I had a father and a brother, 4 sisters and a mother.
A lot of feminine energy.
Exactly. And so when I say to people that it would we could do ourselves no further harm if our systems were run by women. I would have no problem with that whatsoever, because the men have been mucking it up for a long time. However, I also know, too, that the women have not been devoid of their part in helping to sort of balance things out a little bit. And still, you know, behind every successful man, there's a woman in that, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. You have to remember that we've been in a time of darkness, too.
Yeah.
We're just beginning to enter into what is known as a golden age, and not to get too esoteric, but this all has to do, of course, with the galactic center, our dual sun, and how light, it's a different type of light. It's more what they call a ray. It's an energy that separates itself along sound and along light, but it calibrates lifespans, memory function, and also spiritual evolution. And we are entering now into a small little period of time, which is known as the Golden Age of Kali Yuga. We're in an overall trend of darkness, but we have this little upspot. It's kind of like, a spike in the market might be the best way to understand it. But they say that the Golden Age of Kali Yuga will last from 1899 to 11,899. And during that time, a whole feminine viewpoint on life will prevail.
Interesting. Well, I'm not sure I'm going to live quite that long, although...
I know, it's hard to wrap your head around those large expanses of time. But as a soul,
yeah,
because there is no such thing as time, this is our opportunity. Our opportunity to enter into what the spiritual teachers call an ascension process.
Yeah.
And it's important, because I think this is the positive side of what we gain as souls having this human experience during this time of tumultuous change. But these are the beginning steps of the ascension process that they outline in Sisters of the Flame. They talked about balance and how to achieve internal peace during chaos. 2, how to move through human emotion through the use of our mind. Now, it's interesting, because our mind is given to us to help us move through emotion, but then we must let go of the mind in order to experience emotion. And then they talk about 3, which is acceptance. Joy and laughter assist us all to find the internal peace. So you have to laugh at yourself a little bit about all of this.
Mm-hmm.
It helps.
Yes, it does. It does, big time. I am intrigued, of course, by the messages that are available through Sisters of the Flame. Again, if you are just joining us, that is the title of the book, An Introduction to the Ancient Masters of the I Am Teachings. Lori Toy is my guest, and we're talking about awakening the flame of your spirit. It's one of those things where, Lori, I've had a couple of experiences like this where I've actually sat in a room with a group of people listening to somebody sharing the stories that they wanted to share, you know, the messages, whether they be prophecies or just inspiration or what have you. And it was more of an intimate type of setting, not thousands of people kind of thing. And I've often thought, boy, that just would be neat to be able to go back to. When we lived in Phoenix, we opened our home up to different groups of people who would come in, and that would be the kind of activity, if you will, that would go on in the home. It just seems to me like more and more people are moving in that direction. There are more storytellers. It seemed to be more shamans. There seem to be more... people who are working in these areas to continue to foster that evolutionary process.
Which I think is so vital. It's almost as if through this whole evolutionary process, we are finding a new place of how we fit into how we redefine community. One thing that was very profound for me in Sisters of the Flame, of course, I start out in the book, I talk a little bit about the backstory, which is all covered in A Teacher Appears, but when I met Sherry Takala, she helped me a great deal just to reestablish myself and to make that decision, would I continue on with sharing the I'm America map, its messages, and continue to do trans work, because I wasn't even sure that I could even continue that. But what she did, Richard, is she opened up her home to me and to anyone in the community who wanted to come. And so 2 to 3 times a week at night, we'd offer these sessions. And we'd just sit around the kitchen table. She'd pour someone a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, and I would sit and channel for about an hour. And it was so precious, honestly, just to have that experience, not only the guidance of the spiritual teachers, which, of course, was very profound, but there was a guidance that came through us being together as one. And also, every person who came, of course, by no mistake, they offered an energy and a support to one another that I think was so important. And I think that these are the things now where we're going to move towards and evolve towards. I look back on it now and I realize how incredibly wonderful that was.
Those kinds of experiences, my wife and I sort of foster. It's just the two of us, and we have this fire pit on wheels that we brought with us from Phoenix. And we'll light a fire in the fire pit, and we'll sit outside, and we'll just talk. And we were actually sharing an interesting perspective just the other night that kind of ties into this. I found in my career in particular that the last thing that I want to do is retain all of the information that and keep it for myself that I have gathered specifically about, you know, my career. Because if I do that, then I am stuck right where I am because I'm not sharing it with anyone else and I can't move on and do other things. And so my perspective that I've taken is that I want to share everything that I know about everything that I'm doing so that someone else can come in here and pick up where I've left off so that I can go off and do new things. And I feel
so fascinating. You know, the third book in this trilogy is about that process. At that time, we were instructed to share the information with anyone who would come. And they said that through that process of sharing that it would evolve our own experience with the information and, of course, also then allow others to interact with the information. So I totally get what you're saying.
Well, and I think that, you know, I'm not worried about job security. I'm really not. Because my toolbox, I have to get a bigger and bigger toolbox. And now I think that the one I have is on wheels and then I got to lug it around and that kind of thing. And that's fine. But I'm also sharing those tools and duplicating them and giving them away because I want people to be able to not just pick up where I've left off when I leave this space and go do new things, but also so that they can go out elsewhere and take that information and incorporate it into what's happening because I think it's valuable and that it's worth using because I'm seeing some changes over the last 30 years or so that I've been doing this that are not good for this particular industry. And being mindful that, for example, this program in and of itself is designed for the listener to make up their own mind. I may sit here and, oh, Lori, what you say? Oh, it's fantastic. It's incredible. Man, we just need to get this out there. Or I could sit here and try to trip you up at every turn. The old 60 Minutes idea back in the 70s where they would ambush someone, you know, and ask them the hard questions. But I've taken the position that I want to make sure that people get the information and get the message that you're putting out so that they can make up their own minds.
That's really where it all lies anyway, the choice. It's our choice, you know, where we want to move in this co-creative aspect of life, especially as we enter to the spiritual level.
In terms of these writings, and we've talked about this before, and dealing with the Ascended Masters, I believe I asked you this question before in the previous interview, but in terms of all of us having access to basically to the same information via the field, the Ascended Masters also have that access to that same information, including something that I think we may have brushed upon in the last interview, and that's the Akashic Records. Is that right?
Yes. And this is sort of fascinating. We've never really talked too much about the Golden Cities. And, of course, I sent you the Golden City map.
Yeah.
And when you get a chance, you can kind of look at that. And I'd be happy to share more information with you about that maybe at a later date. But the Golden Cities are in the I'm America map, and they are areas that are prophesied safe havens for interaction with spiritual energy. And they also assist and guide our evolution at this time. Well, according to the Master Teachers, they have specialized Akashic records, or specialized types of spiritual libraries filled with information specific to that region, or specific to a spiritual path of growth. And, of course, Akashic records reside at fourth dimension, also in fifth dimension to some degree. And these are those records that a lot of people will talk about in past life regression, or they will enter into trance states and they're able to access that all-encompassing knowledge. The best way to understand it, I think, is as a library of knowledge, a library of all information, where you can receive all information that is important for you and your soul's growth, the information about this lifetime, perhaps other lifetimes, also information about the history of the Earth, and also the universe. I mean, there really is no limitation. It does get down to, again, information seems to always come not from the answer, but from the most insightful question.
Yeah.
So Akashic records are there and available for us. Again, we enter that through development of eyes to see, ears to hear. That is opening up through the intuition, opening up to more of the super senses, which is, of course, the fourth dimension.
You know, I'm getting a greater insight here in talking with you as well as previous guests on the program about the answer to the question that I have put forth. And I have to say that, honestly, the question does come from a bit of a pessimistic viewpoint. But it came about only because of what we've been talking about, in particular in terms of the changes, also in terms of the way our society is functioning today or dysfunctioning today. And the question that I've put out there is, why is it important? And I'm going to have you answer this question. Why is it important for the human race to continue? I'm not speaking about annihilation. I'm saying from this day forward, there will be no more babies made. We're going to live out the rest of humanity's existence over the next 100 years with what's been created here on this date.
And you're talking about the physical humans.
The physical humans, because
having,
it doesn't seem as...
physical bodies.
Right.
Why is that important? I think, again, because the body itself allows for experience that we cannot have in the physical plane. Now, I'm going to go back to some of my Vedic training as an astrologer. And this might help give you some keys to the answer you're seeking. The 12th house, I know you're familiar with astrology, is the house of liberation,
mm-hmm.
spiritual liberation, ascension. Therefore, it becomes a house of forgiveness, whether that's forgiveness of others or self-forgiveness. It's all-encompassing. Prior to that, of course, is the 11th house, and the 11th house is the house of our desires, the big-time desires that we hold. And the way that the rishis saw this in their wisdom is that we cannot liberate, we cannot free ourselves until we experience every desire possible. So desire, from some viewpoints is seen as a bad thing, that it clogs you up and it stuffs you and you can't move forward. But on the other hand, denying that desire is not a good thing either. I think it was Walter Russell who said that desire is the fulcrum of the universe. So the physical body allows us to have these amazing senses and experiences that we just do not get in the other planes. And I do think eventually we evolve through that, that we no longer need it, that those desires become satiated, and then we're ready to achieve liberation.
It certainly adds to filling in those missing puzzle pieces, if you will, to the answer, because I look around. I've only been around a scant 54 years. My dad's been around for 83, and I have a great niece. I am a great uncle. Wonderful. Is my great niece going to be subject to the same story, same lifestyle that my father and I have had to struggle through? You know, and again, this is, you know, we've had darn good lives, I have to tell you. I mean, I know my father would say the same. But in terms of this whole, you know, producer consumerism kind of thing, is that her fate? Or is she, hopefully, are we going to move upward beyond this in her lifetime? Because I would hate to think that that's all that she has to look forward to as a human being.
Well, I do think we are in an amazing time mm-hmm. of opportunity for spiritual growth. And of course, you know, these new children are being born right now. And also, I want to mention, because I think it's important, because it's going to be happening this summer, at the end of June, Jupiter moves from its sign, sidereally, this is Vedic astrology again, into its sign of exaltation, Cancer. And simultaneously, Saturn will stay in its exaltation sign of Libra. Well, exaltation means that planets kind of calibrate what are known as the ray forces again, or the seven rays of light and sound. And that means that the two larger planets, they rule the larger influences in life. And of course, in Vedic astrology, they do not use the outer planets. So this is quite good for all of us.
Mm.
And what this means, I think, is that there'll be new souls that will be born at that time that are very special and will really help the Earth. Plus, we will get opportunities. This configuration hasn't happened for 60 years.
Mm.
And the last time that it happened, there were some great souls that were born, and we made some great strides at that time. And that's not to say that we still will not have the results of climate change and global warming. We could still have bad tornadoes. We could still have other, you know, cataclysmic events.
Sure.
But this is more of an opportunity for us individually, for our own spiritual growth. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Because it's something we just don't see. It will last until November. And so I think it's going to influence finance. It's going to influence our culture to a large degree. There'll probably be some landmark decisions that will be made then. But, of course, the souls that are born then will then be influenced by that energy. And then as they mature, they'll have a great impact on the world that we're going to live in.
Yeah, what I have been understanding more and more is that there is no more independence. There is no more codependence. We are working towards that interdependence, to use a phrase. And because we are, more and more of us are beginning to understand that everything that we do, if you want to use Einstein's, I don't know if it's a theory of relativity, but anyway, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Well, that is true. And when we start to understand that at this level of interconnectedness, then we might even stop doing some of the things that we have been doing and stop some of the reactions, and start creating new actions in our
more
individual
lives.
Exactly. Lori, I want to thank you so much for taking so much time and sharing with us about yourself, the work that you're doing, and your book, Sisters of the Flame, an introduction to the Ascended Masters of the I Am teachings. And when we have you back, when book three comes out, I would like for us to talk more about the golden cities and these places not only of protection but also of to understand some of this even more, and maybe even touch upon more details within some of the maps, and maybe look at some of the timetables if we can do that in our next program.
I would love to do that. And it's just been a pleasure to be a guest on your show again, Richard. Thank you very much.
Let me mention again, Lori Toy is my guest, and the book entitled Sisters of the Flame, an introduction to the Ascended Masters of the I Am teachings, and loritoy.org. That's loritoye.org. You can also go to iamamerica.com to check out the materials and information, and we encourage you to do just that. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And until next time, love Talal.